Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Dadi Israel, and I'd like to say that forever as a priest is Dadi Israel. Please find your seats for Sabbath services. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
My name is
Daughter of Israel.
My name is your
Sayla.
I would like to serve you.
At the priestess.
Starting very soon.
It's a privilege and an honor. It is an honor. To present to you.
Present to you.
Sons and daughters.
Sons and daughters.
Is
here able.
Now entering the sanctuary.
Let's enter the sanctuary.
Shalom, everyone. Please pay close attention to this whole service. There's going to be tons of knowledge and understanding that will be coming to you. This can only be achieved from this service at the House of Yahweh. Prophecy, laws of health, and Yematria all added up to one fantastic lesson. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the great priest in the House of Yahweh.
At this time, if you all remain standing, it's a privilege and honor to turn it over to the holy women of Nu, the queens of the House of Yahweh.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. I am going to continue on with my studies on the calendar and the Yeketia's prophesied temple pattern. And if I could have my first slide, please. Now, if you notice this, you have seen this slide before. And what I did in order to help you to understand how these dates link together, I've highlighted them in different colors. Now, this was from the 2017 House of Yahweh calendar, and it was the one on the temple brochure from 1996. And there was a quote. It says, "Measure the temple. Yeshua speaks of a time when the temple would be rebuilt, and he gives the witnesses the job of measuring it and bringing forth the prophecy of Yeketia," which we did. We've got it, and we've got a temple model of it. But I want you to notice the date that the overseer spoke of this. This is from 10:31:15, and you can find this sermon. It's the 35th chapter of the 15th book of Yisrael, and it starts with verse 83, and it goes down to 91. Now, what I wanted you to notice is we have the peace treaty. The peace treaty was signed 9/13/1993, and it went into effect 10/13/1993. A little bit more than a month later, the House of Yahweh filed the patent for the Temple of Yeketzkiah, the third temple, and that was on 11/22/1993. About a month later, the Vatican finalized the accord it has with Israel. Now, if you notice, the patent filing was in between those two dates. Now, I want you to notice the box that it says the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995. That is what is so important in these last days. The patent was granted 8/1/1995, before the Jerusalem Embassy Act of 1995 was introduced. Now, if you notice the red line going from 10/13/1993 to being introduced, it was exactly 2 years after the signing of the peace treaty. It was introduced. It is one of the fastest bills that have ever been introduced and passed in Congress. As you notice, it was passed on 10/24/1995, 11 days later. At this time, President Bill Clinton was in office, as the overseer said, told us there was that infamous handshake between Rabin and Arafat at the White House lawn. We saw the video. We saw everything that took place with Bill Clinton being right there directing them. It became public law on 11-8-1995, but President Clinton refused to sign it. The way our executive branch works with the laws and the Congress works is the law is introduced in the House, it's passed in the Senate, it's sent to the president. If the president does not sign the bill, it will automatically go into law. It became public law on 11-8-1995. Now, if you go over to the right of that, it says 10-31-2015. That's the date of the sermon. I looked these numbers up in the Greek. Number 10 means my father is majesty. 31 comes from 32, and it's an announcement, a message. And it means, from vines, it means to bring a message, to proclaim. 32 means pastor, messenger. And in the vines definition, it goes through and it says a messenger from capital G, God, which we know means Yahweh, a messenger from Yahweh. Now this has got to be Yahweh. There is no way that the overseer could know that these numbers on the date that he gave this sermon would actually link him to being a messenger from Yahweh in the Strongs. If I can have my next slide, please. Now, the next two slides are going to be from the Strongs. I made copies for you. And 31 comes from 32, and it's an announcement. And it's the word, I can't pronounce the word, but it means to bring a message, to proclaim, denoting a message. I want you to see that this is exactly what the Strong says. This, from 32, it comes, it's derived from 71, and it means a messenger sent by God. Now, if you have the next slide, please. Now, this is not 71, because 32 comes from 71. It's a primitive verb. It means to bring forth. Ego means to lead along, to bring, connotes to bring. This is what the overseer, sisters, is doing with us. He's bringing us along with him. He's bringing us along to help us understand this message in these last days. Now, this the calendar, of course, refers to the measure of the temple, which is Yekeziah's prophesied temple. The prophecy came true. It came to pass, and the whole world saw it. It came to pass when he built the temple, but it also came to pass when they signed the peace treaty in 1993. The whole world saw. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You can be seated. So I feel like for the past few months, we have been practicing Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, which says so much more as we see the day approaching to urge one another on towards righteousness. So, and it's very, very close, as we can see. The kingdoms that are against Yahweh's kingdom, they're really giving it all their best to make sure that this work does not prevail. But we know that this work will prevail. And my title today is Confusion. And we know that this confusion is brought about by sin, the transgression of Yahweh's laws. And it brings about curses like sickness and diseases that results to this confusion of the mind. In Matthew chapter 24, it talks about a certain generation. And verse 29 says it's the generation of the nuclear bombs, which came about when Prophet Daniel prophesied about the increase of knowledge in these last days in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. And this generation started in 1934, as we all know. In verse 33 and 34 of chapter 24, Matithya, it says that this generation will not pass away until these things come to pass, which thinks in verse 7, it says, nation will rise against nation, kingdoms against kingdoms, and kingdoms, we know that means religion, religion against religion, and there will be famines, pestilence, disease, not that disease, epidemics, and earthquakes in place after place. Now, the sin that causes this confusion is shown in Leviticus chapter 18. So for my yametria, my first yametria, I put confusion causes hatred, widespread sickness, and disease, and finally, in this time period, nuclear wars that will darken the sun. And I got that from the Global Warming book, just exactly that, the way it's written there on page 42, column 1. And as you can see, the numbers there, 1195 means in affliction, and that's the state that your body is in when you have the disease. It's afflicted, it has pain and suffering. In the Greek, 1195 means to enchain, a prison, a prisoner, loud, to tie on a load, bind. And it's derived from 1196, which means shackle, from 1199, which means impediment, disability, and that's what disease brings about in your body. Now, 7170 is the other number, and as you can see, it means slander, and that's when you don't even know how to practice the law of Yahweh. We know that there's that law that says do not slander. And then it corresponds to 7171, which means destruction. And lastly, 7129 means woe, which this confusion is finally going to bring to the world. So when this confusion, which affects the mind, it causes you not to make right decisions. And it's just like when a person is mentally ill, they can't focus. And most of them, they're put in the state hospitals. But we know that 99% of these cases don't even equal the worst cases of them. And this confusion is covering 82% of the people today. And these people include the world leaders today, the government leaders, the doctors, the lawyers, the judges, and even the priests. But in these last days, we have the great priest, as you can see, my last yametria, Revelations 18, verse 1, which that's the correct translation. It's written in the Global Warming book, page 140. It says, and after these things, I saw at Abel, a priest, a teacher, the one sent from Yahweh. He had great authority, for the whole world was revealed the truth by Israel, who reverenced Yahweh and his laws. So we see even his name is there. Israel Hawkins is the one who is revealing the truth to all nations. So when I put that in the Ametria, 1594 was the first number. It meant a garden. And we know that the house of Yahweh is a garden. Yahweh is cultivating us into what he wants us to be. 1594 in the Greek, it meant to awake, arose out of stupor, which Yahweh is bringing about this awakening. Even the people in the world, they're coming to realize the truth, just as the scripture says. And 1085 is the other number, the last one that I'm going to show you. And it mean in the Greek, it means a born countryman, diversity, generation. See, this generation, kindred, nation, offspring of which we are, the offsprings of Israel Hawkins, and also a stock, which is also a generation. And it's from 1095, which means to come to pass. So these things will come to pass. Let's continue urging one another on towards righteous works. And Yahweh bless the rest of your Sabbath. Shabbat shalom.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Okay. Last time our great overseer spoke, we know he was talking about Exodus 12 and showing Yahweh's judgment there and the prophecy and how it's similar to our time period, the Passover and our great time period. Period, and how the plagues are coming about as well as in that time, and how we're in the time of the last seven plagues. Okay? The last seven plagues, there will be no more after that, and we know that the first is about to end, and the last is the great nuclear burning. The burning talked about in Matthew 24:29 that will darken the sun, and Revelation 18 that it would be in 1 hour. Also, that the kingdoms are changing hands. The kingdom is changing hands.
Remember, the scepter changing hands, and the house of Yahweh will be given. And he said, given. We won't take it by force, but we'll be given that. And that's what we've been training for all this time, under the guidance of Yahshua, who's been training for 2,000 years. So the training is what we want to talk about today, that we are the children of Israel training. We are his seed, okay? So Isaiah 44, let's turn there on page 558, Isaiah 44, verses 3 through 4. For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring. They will spring up among the grass as willows by the water courses. And notice the time period. This is speaking to the last day's witness. This is in the time period of the last day's witness, talking about two witnesses here, but we know now it's the last day's witness, Yisrael Hawkins. And think of all the other scriptures that tie into that. So what we're going to be focusing on today is my spirit upon your seed. And with that, let's go to Acts chapter 2. And it's on page 841, Acts chapter 2. And we know this is where it talks about after Yahshua had ascended and the apostles were doing their work, and teaching and learning was the main thing that they were doing. They were learning and they were teaching everything that they had been taught by Yahshua and teaching it to others and making teachers of others. So on the day of Pentecost, we have Kephas' sermon. We're going to start in verse 19, okay? Acts 2:19, and we know this is repeated in Yael 2:28-32. So we have, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Verse 20, the sun will be turned into darkness. That defines our time period right there in Matthew 24. And the moon into blood before the great and... well, it's not terrible, but I think it's wonderful. Day of Yahweh comes. And this is verse 21. And it will come to pass that whoever calls on the name of Yahweh will be delivered. So you see there, Yahweh's great Passover also mentioned there. Let's go to verse 18. Yes, on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. So can we get our side note? Let's look at the side note D there. It says, this word prophesy means showing others Yahweh's way, and even predicting future events. What you are being taught now, you'll be preaching in the last 3.5 years. We see that word used again in verse 17. And it will come to pass in the last days, notice there the time period, Yahweh says, Yahweh, I will pour out my spirit, like it says in Isaiah, upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, that is to teach, and your men, young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Okay, so we know there the main thing is the time period that this is taking place, and also the what we are being taught we will be teaching in the last 3.5 years. And we know that being able to understand prophecy is one of the gifts of Spirit Holy that our great overseer has spoken of. So that word handmaidens, it's used in Acts 2 and also in Yael 2. You can look this up on your own time for time's sake, but in Hebrew it means women servants. We know that the women are the workers, the helpers, the assistants, the companions, daughters. And in Scripture, Yahweh gave many examples of these who had their hand in the work and in Yahweh's plan. And now in these last days, there are many daughters and helpers and handmaidens needed and called, and we're all given that opportunity, the same opportunity that they had, just greater, with a greater promise. Remember Yahshua's mother, she was described as a humble handmaiden, and humble is the key word there, because if you're not humble, you can't learn anything, right? A proud person never learns anything. They don't need to learn. So the humility is what's needed there so that we can learn what to teach so that we can teach others. This is the opportunity set before us if we will just yield to it. And Yahweh, he will help us. What we need to do is keep studying, keep absorbing all that we've been taught, accept the training, because remember, some we've been training for 40 years and some have been blessed to be born here. Some have been called at a young age, and some have a shorter time, but we're all given that same opportunity if we'll just yield to it, and the same opportunity to be tagged with our great overseer's tag number. So can we get our yamatrias quickly? We have the first one, my handmaidens in the last day's house, 322. What's 322? Pastor's tag number. You see the rest of them are the last day's handmaids of Yahweh and a handmaiden able to prophesy. 1074, pastor's other tag number. Can we get the next one? We have... are the last days children of Israel? 2022, that's the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh. The last days children, 1074, and daughters will teach and prophesy. We have their 2022, again, at the house of Yahweh at Abel. And the very last one, I thought this one was really neat. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy in the last 3.5 years, 8:28, pastor's date of birth. Praise y'all. With this, if y'all please stand, I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Okay. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Welcome back to another Sabbath. Okay. I got some really exciting stuff to share with y'all. I'm really pumped right now. Okay, so this book right here, y'all know that this book is alive, right? So remembering the collection of writings from the prophets and apostles, we're gathered for the sole purpose of these last days. Once the house of Yahweh was established by the witness Yisrael, having Yeshua as high priest, it was gathered for that sole purpose. So Yahweh shows from Genesis to Revelations the work that was to be done in the last days and the finishing of Yahweh's 6,000-year plan for man. So the two sole purposes that two main purposes of this work that I wanted to give in brief descriptions was, one, to warn all nations the plagues and destructions they are bringing upon themselves because of doing away with and breaking Yahweh's laws. The other being the finishing of the completed kingdom in the order of Melchizedek and in unity with Yahweh, 100% unity with Yahweh, a kingdom of, quote, righteous priests that will rule as Yahweh rules and the eternal position. So that's exactly why we're here, and that's exactly what's going on in this time period, right? So if you turn over to Exodus chapter 17, you know, that's the time when Moshe led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were quarreling and contended with Moshe, saying that they were really thirsty and they wanted some water. So that water from the rock that saved, they could have died without that water. They were completely and totally without water. So that rock represents the last day's house of Yahweh. And you know, in Matthew 16:18, on this rock, I will establish my house. Now, if we can show the first Yamatria, it says a draw from the rock. And notice the 1074 and the 179, what time period, this generation, and then where it would be at 179, Abilene. Now notice that 1408, that 1408, which is super cool. That's what I'm really excited about. So in Hebrews at 1408 is Gad. Now in the Greek, we're going to get back to Gad, but in the Greek, 1408 is a race, career, course. Means a running a race, hence met, denotes a career, course of occupation, or of life. I found that really interesting. Now, so I'm going to read from the book of Yisrael, the 11th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 21, verses 109 through 110. Now, overseer's reading from Genesis 49. And he goes on to say, Jacob says, gather together so I can tell you what will befall you in the last days. Got that? Last days. Then he starts naming the tribes. In verse 10 through 11, he shows a prophecy about the two witnesses, about Yeshua the Savior, about the last day's work, the last days. This is for the last days. Then on our next slide, I'm going to continue reading from verse 10, 110. In verse 19, overseer says, remember what this word means. This word, Rab Mag, it means troop. And that's what we put at the side of it there. Verse 19, look at it. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he will overcome at the last. Remember Revelations 12:9. Has the whole world deceived? The apostles continually fought against these people for their worship of demons. Worship of demons, Gad. A troop shall overcome him, but he will overcome at last. In the last days, when the house of Yahweh is set up, that's when you're finally going to overcome at last. Got that? Praise Yahweh. Because the house of Yahweh will bring Yahweh's perfection to all nations. That's our job, brethren. This is going to take place. So I'm going to move on to the next Yamatria, and we have, behold, Yisrael will stand before you upon the rock. And I mentioned this the previous time I spoke, and if you write down these numbers, I'm going to run through them real quickly. It's 3677, 3162, and 527.
Now, from the Strong's exhaustive expanded concordance, that Hebrew 3677 means fullness or full moon, its festival or time appointed. Now, if you notice, I want you to circle the 3162. In the Hebrews, it means a unit, unitedly, together, all together, alike, likewise, withal. And from the Greek, it means a knife, dirk, figuratively, war, judicial, punishment, sword. So what does this actually mean? We'll get to that in the book of Yisrael. And then from the Hebrew, 527, is a throng of people, the multitude, populace. And notice in Greek, the 527 means soft, tender, is used of branch of a tree which is full of sap. You know, just like the parable of the fig tree, when its branches becomes tender, you know that the summer is near at the very door. Truly I say to you, that generation will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Okay, so for our next slide, we're reading from the fifth book of Yisrael, chapter 16, verses 63 through 64. An overseer is reading from Revelations 19, verse 15. Out of his mouth goes a sharp, two-edged sword. So is this the one that he cuts off the heads with? That with it he should strike the nations. He smites the earth with his two-edged sword, the same as the two witnesses smite the earth, giving the judgments that were meted to them to give. And he will rule over them. That word strike actually means to tend, guide, or teach. Yeshua smites, but his instrument is his word, described as a sword here. It's the word of Yahweh. He strikes them or corrects them with the word of Yahweh, and that's how we're striking them and how we smite the earth. We're telling them about these plagues, and this was back in 2005 he said this. We're telling them about these plagues and telling them that they haven't seen the worst of it yet. Praise Yahweh, we get to be a part of this work and that we get to learn at the feet of the greatest teacher in the world. And we are being offered a place, a part. I mean, what are we? We're little simple humans. Out of all the billions of people in the world, each one of us are gathered here today on Yahweh's holy Sabbath, and we get to sit in front of overseer. And we're learning what to teach, how to tend and guide and teach so we can be a part of this kingdom of righteous priests, so we can inherit an occupation of life and teachers of life. So repeating overseer's words, we've got to stay connected to the branch. If we don't, our fruit will shrivel and die. That's right. And we all got to stay connected with the vine, and we got to draw our water from the rock. Yahweh Unity, Yeshua will build this house. And with this, if you'd all please stand, I'll turn it over to the following speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. Okay, let's try this. Can you see this little thing in my hand? No? No. Let's try again. Can you see it now? Okay, well, let's try one more time. Better, right? Any ideas what it is? Great, exactly, a mustard seed. A super small mustard seed. You have any idea where I'm going with this? Let us turn to Matitya chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. Matitya chapter 13, verses 31 and 32. The parable of the mustard seed. Found on page 740, verse 31. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of Yahweh is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field." Verse 32. Though it is indeed the least of all seeds, look at the side note G5. It says, "This teaches us not to be astonished at the small beginning of the message, the small beginning of the house of Yahweh. When it grows, when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. I would like you to think back, way, way back when you first came to the house of Yahweh, your first services, your first feast. Picture it in your mind. Some of us might have come in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, a time before gray hair, wrinkles, aches and pains, old age setting in. What was the house of Yahweh like? What was the house of Yahweh like? How big was it? Think upon this. Turn with, I would like to read from the 10th book of Israel, part 1. Part 1, chapter 26, verses 81 and 84. 10th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 26. You know how slowly this tree has grown. Brethren, if you could have seen the first crew, I think there were 13 that Yahweh gathered over here in the backyard on a concrete slab. I think there were 13 people at that time. 84. What do you see here is actually started back in about 1970 or 1969 or somewhere along in there. That's how far, how long that's grown. If you can imagine back, if you can imagine a big oak tree starting off at that size, and now how big it is right now, and how big it is going to get, because this oak tree is actually going to take over, you know, the kingdom of heaven, the highest thing there is. Praise Yahweh. Those were the words of Pastor Israel Hawkins. I'd like to read also from Mark of the Beast, part 2, chapter 18, verses, page 401 and 402. The house of Yahweh to begin as a small group. The house of Yahweh will one day be the largest, most powerful ruling government on the face of this planet, but it does not begin that way. That is why Micaiah said the house of Yahweh will be promoted in the last days. It will be promised to raise above all religions and governments on earth. And the last book of Israel quote, the 18th book of Israel, chapter 9, verses 47. The house of Yahweh started off small, as Yeshua said. The house that is going to take over all kingdoms in the universe started as the tiniest seed, the tiniest seed. It's grown into this medium-sized but still small oak tree. So you see him referring to the mustard seed, the most insignificant, small thing, as a great oak tree, right? But when it's finished, it's going to be the greatest tree, the greatest kingdom. It will teach nothing but righteousness like Yahweh. Yahweh is the greatest in the universe, yes. Remember the mustard seed I showed you at the beginning? It was so small, so small. This mustard seed represents the house of Yahweh, the kingdom of Yahweh, which starts off small as well and will grow mighty, strong, huge into an oak tree. I'd like to define growth from you from the Strong's Hebrew Concordance. It is number 837, and grown mean to grow, to increase, to become greater, to enlarge. This oak tree will, when fully grown, will furnish shade and pure oil to all the universe and sit at the left hand of Yahweh. It is a place of safety on this earth, unyielding, unmoving like a rock, becoming the greatest kingdom ever on the earth and in heaven, above all the high, lofty places we see today. The sisters, the house of Yahweh started with only 13 people at the first services many, many years ago. Now we are reaching 5.4 million people on Facebook. 5.4. Who could have imagined that? But we have a ways to go still. 2 billion. 2 billion. I would like to read a brief message we got on Facebook from a person who was listening to our services. This quarantine has really brought me the, really taught me the importance of Yahweh. I recently found your sermons online and they have spoken to me. How do I learn more and how can I help? Sisters, I like to read these emails and notes that come in because it reminds me to be humble. It reminds me why I toil, why we labor, why we get up each and every day to serve one another. How many lives as a team, as a unit, has we changed? So during the week when things get weary, things get hard, think back on these things, the reason why we do this work. That started as small as a mustard tree and growing. Remember the creations, people that depend on us. A handful of us here doing this work. We are blessed to be at the city of Israel. And I did a gematria on the house on H-O-Y and oak tree. And it came up 828, which is the date of birth of the of Pastor Israel Hawkins, the one who established this work that begin as a mustard tree that will grow into an oak tree. Sisters, hold fast to this oak tree. Do not get weary. Do not get tired. You are presented with an opportunity to be a forever part of this work. Do not let give up or let go. And praise Yahweh, and I would like to turn it over to the next speaker, but please get your pens ready. Please get your pens ready to take notes and listen diligently. Thank you. Oh, that's it.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please take your seat in the great house of Yahweh. The way into the most sacred place. Remember last time I spoke, this is part two, where the overseer gave a signature on the word holy is out, sacred is in. The next gematria is the way into the most holy place. And that shows that in 1962, it was the two witnesses that once again offered salvation in the last days. The next gematria, the way into the most holy place, shows the house of Yahweh established, 2022. And then also I ask you to remember that number 2563. So when we went to Genesis, in the Greek, that 2563 is a reed, a plant, a pen. And the next gematria will we read together again the corrected translation of Revelation 11:1. And there was given me a reed for writing, a pen, so that I could testify that they have rejected righteous judgment, and they walk in crooked ways. And the Malach, the great Malach, stood saying, rise for the judgment against they who worship at the temple of their gods, and its altar and its confines is at hand. Do you see that the Malach testifies in writing, just as Yahweh gave us his contract in writing? And Yahweh will prove that this pen is faithful and true. Now, as I lay before you facts about the pen, you will be in awe of how great Yahweh took to show that the pen was invented for our great overseer in these last days. So we're going to go over these real quickly, so get ready. Now, I got a book from the library. No, I actually bought this book. It's called Ballpoint. It's written by a man named Georgi Moldova, and we can see that gematria. When you put his name in the gematria, it's 1074. This man was born in this last generation, the same year that our great overseer was born, the start of the last generation, 1934. Let's go to the next gematria. In this here book, this man that wrote this was Hungarian, so he had to have a translator to make it into English. This man who translated this here, as we see in the next gematria, his name was David Robert Evans, 1074. Are you seeing how Yahweh is really pointing out that this pen was developed for our overseer in these last days? Now, according to this book, the first pen patented in Hungary was in 1934. Now, this patent fell through because the man did not get it finished in time, so his patent ran out, but it was the first time in that country that a patent was submitted. The two that submitted this patent, as we can see in this next gematria, is Dr. Ranke and Hedju. That's his last name. And we see those two names come to 828. Once again, proving that it was for our overseer. That is his birth date. Now, you also see in the next gematria that the man that was credited with this pen being developed, we see that this pen developed is 1074. Once again, proving that this pen was made as Revelation 11:1 was made to testify against those who have rejected righteousness. Now, the man who was credited and finally did develop this pen, his name, he was a Hungarian man named Laszlo Joseph Biro. When you put that in there, you see the 18:18 where it goes to Deuteronomy 18:18, where Yahweh says, I will raise up for them a prophet. And it goes to Acts 3:22, his tag number, pastor's tag number. I will put my words in his mouth, and you must listen to him and do all that he says. Now, so I thought, well, let me put in a Hungarian Laszlo. That's his first name. So I put a Hungarian Laszlo, 1074. And I thought, wow, this is all like so amazing that Yahweh is making this so clear in this book that this pen was written for one purpose, or developed for one purpose, for a man of writing the things that he needed to in these last days. So I thought, let me try again. A Hungarian Biro, that's his last name. And that comes to 828. Yahweh just didn't stop. It just kept on going. So I thought that was the end of it until I looked at my book. And I'm cheap, so I didn't buy it brand new. I bought a used one. But inside the cover is the man's name that had this book. His name was John Boris. And, you know, when I saw that word John, I just wanted to spit. Because, you know what? It is the false pen of the scribes that have taken Yahweh's name away from his people. But it's Israel Abel Hawkins that in these last days is restoring the great name of Yahweh and giving it back to our sacred prophets. Yes, let's give Yahweh a hand for that. And our great anointed one who works effortlessly. He works all the time doing this great work. So I said, we need to give this man a righteous name. So I put in the gematria, Yachanan Boris, and look what occurs, 828. So even the man that didn't want this book, I wanted it, gave it to the house of Yahweh, cheap too. So praise Yahweh for that. Now, what are the odds that the author, the translator, the first patent in 1934, the two people that did that, the inventor's first, last name, and his whole name all support the fact that this pen was developed for our great overseer in these last days to do his work? Yes, only Yahweh can do that. Who could do that? Who could really do that? Now, the man spoken about by the sacred prophets of old, our sacred prophets, in Isaiah 44, Revelation 11:3-1, Zechariah 6:12, in the last days, the 1934 generation, where in Isaiah 2:2 and Micaiah 4 says, in the last days I will establish my house, and all nations will eventually flow to it. How? Because the overseer effortlessly had picked up that pen, not putting out anything. Who would do something day after day, month after month, year after year, decade after decade? It is our great overseer. Let us support him by doing our part. The house of Yahweh has been established in these last days, and it's because of this and all the work that the great overseer has done, we do say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. At this time, let us stand for our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The title of my speech today is, What Are We Coming Out From? Because we know we're coming out from something, right? We've talked about the Exodus before. And I'd like to start in Colossians 3, verse 15, and I really want you to ponder something, and I would like for you to write something down. Read this scripture. It says, and let the peace of Yahweh rule in your hearts, not your emotions, ladies. Let the peace of Yahweh rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. I'd like for you to write in your notes right now, if you would. Thankful for what? And I want to see if you can catch it at the end of the speech. The answer is going to be given at the end of the speech, what we should be thankful for. And hopefully we'll know why as well. So in the first book of Israel, chapter 16, verse 34, the first book of Israel, chapter 16, verse 34, pastor says, many people will not come out of this world completely. I know that. So see, pastor already knows that. But I know the holiest of the holy people are going to, and I know they will not fall back into the lustful traps that are set for them. So pastor, he's saying, I know not everyone is going to come out, but the holiest of the holy will. And when we do, we're not going to be caught up in these traps. So you can see where pastor's going with this, right? Coming out of Egypt is not just walking through water that opens up into dry land. Coming out of Egypt means getting rid of all of Satan's rule over us, all of it, and coming into unity with Yahweh alone. We have Satan's government right now over the house of Yahweh in the schools, churches, hospitals, in the way that we dress, and yes, even in our mindset, the way we think. We've been trained by Satan, the devil. She's over everything right now. But remember, we've learned that this kingdom is going to be given to the great saints of Yahweh. Right? Praise Yahweh. These last seven plagues will eventually free Yahweh's people. And that's why the house of Yahweh is saying, let Yahweh's people go. How many of you really realize what we're asking when we say, let Yahweh's people go? We're wanting Yahweh's people to have the understanding of keeping these laws put in their minds so that they too can have the great opportunity that we have sitting right here. The blessings that only come from Yahweh's house, right? Now, these last seven plagues will eventually get the people to where they're going to be free of every authority except for Yahweh. So when this is said and done, the people will be free of every authority that is against Yahweh. So now, in our mind, yes, and that's great, but I want to have a little talk with you today, because sometimes we don't realize that we are against the authority of Yahweh. It's in our minds. Coming out is a mindset as well. It's not just a physical thing. It's coming out and changing the way that we think. Where do we learn to come out of the sinful attitude that's been programmed in us? The same place that we get our blessings from, right? The house of Yahweh. An attitude that we think we know it all. We don't need our counselors, our teachers, our supervisors. Well, we've made an exodus. We're already there in our own minds, right? We've made it. We don't need any help. We don't need the overseer or anything. No, we need to become humble, teachable, guidable, moldable people in the house of Yahweh to come out. Now, I put in the gematria, coming out of Egypt at the end days, and it's 2022. Does anyone remember 2022? The great mountain comes out of the modern day Egypt. That's where we're coming out from, 2022, the house of Yahweh, Micaiah 4:1. In the last days, it's going to come to pass that this great mountain, this promotion, the house of Yahweh is going to be established, and it's going to teach us how to be humble and how to come out in our dress, come out from the hospitals, come out from the schools, the churches, and learn Yahweh's way. We're being led to this mountain, an exodus out of sin, so that we can be worthy of the great positions that Yahweh has waiting for us in his kingdom. From the third book of Israel, chapter 28, this is verse 98, it says, yes, you're standing in a congregation that's alive and doing the work of Yahweh, but you as an individual might be dead. If you don't pay attention, humble yourself and come out of this world. So there's a humbling that has to take place here. If you've got the ways of the world hanging on to you, you're going to go down with it. That's a warning from the great overseer. We have to be in unity with this 2022, right? It's very important to remember where our blessings come from. The blessings come from the great house of Yahweh through our pastor. Our pastor who trains us and teaches us. In the sixth book of Israel, chapter 23, I'm trying to only use pastor's words here. The sixth book of Israel, chapter 23, verse 62, and it says, we start from the ground up, right? Like we did with you, all of us, like we did with you. Do you remember how stupid you were when you came here? Admit it. Admit it. And Yahweh has trained us all. He's brought us out of a sewer. He's allowed us to exodus out of this sewer. He's made us kings, priests, priestess and high queens, right? Right? Priestess and high queens, right? Kahans, judges, kohanas. He's made this out of us, teachers and kings. He says, there's a saying that all beautiful flowers grow out of dirt. Have you ever heard that saying? We've all come out of this world. It's a sin-sick, evil world. And if we take the correction, if we come to the classes, if we learn from our counselors, our teachers, and our supervisors, we will bloom, we will blossom, and we will grow, and we will help this mustard seed to develop into this great tree. In the 10th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 13, verse 10, in the 10th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 13, verse 10, it says, when you're corrected or told to do something now, and you rise up in bitterness against this correction or against a job that's set for you to do, now believe me, pastor says, this is either honor or dishonor that's going on your record. And if you go and seek Satan's deception, now how do we do that? We seek Satan's deception by finding somebody that's going to agree with us on why we should be bitter, right? Come on, you've never done it? That's how we fall into deception. And pastor says, naturally, you're going to be deceived because you're going to find someone that agrees with you and helps to puff up that pride within you, right? Now, if you overcome this, it will be counted to your honor, your honor. And in the 11th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 9, verse 33, it says, someone corrects you and you want to lash back at them, don't you? Pastor says, don't do this. Don't do this. Be thankful. Do you remember the question I told you to write down? What are we to be thankful for when we're called into this great body? There's your answer. Be thankful for this correction. Remember Colossians 3:15. Be thankful especially for your supervisors who love you enough to correct you. Your counselors, whether they do it right or wrong, you're the one that's being judged on how you react to it. You'll become a supervisor one day, supervisors of kings, queens, priestess, and high queens in a royal family in Yahweh Shema, Yahweh Shema. There's one that's leading us right now, and he's bringing us out of this Egyptian mindset. And we're going to take a look at who this is. We put in the Yematria, overshadows the Exodus from Egypt. Guess what this was? It was number 3478, which is the word Yisrael. Yisrael's Exodus is going to overshadow the Exodus from Egypt. This word is Yisrael. It means he will rule as Yahweh, and he's teaching us to rule as Yahweh also, if he can get us to humbly submit and learn how to rule as Yahweh does as well. The other one, going against the modern day Pharaoh. We have to have two witnesses, right? Also, 322, our great, 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 great overseer, Yisro Hawkins, that's his tag. He's been tagged to do this job in these last days. Yes, we're the clay. We are the clay, molded through the teachings and correction of our great pastor and overseer, our counselors, our teachers, and our supervisors. Yahweh, he's the potter, and he uses these people to bring us to perfection and to make us, like Genesis 1:26 says, I will make you. House of Yahweh, be thankful, and let's let Yahweh make us into who he wants us to be. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the great priest, if you'll stand in the great house of Yahweh. Yahweh bless you.
Remember, no correction at first seems pleasant, right? But it brings forth a peaceful fruit of righteousness. Praise Yahweh. This time we get to hear from Great Deacon Mike Glossop.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You know, we are so unbelievably blessed to be here. And we see the prophecies being fulfilled out in the world. Things are falling apart by leaps and bounds. It's not going to be long. It's going to let up, and then that next plague is going to hit, and boy, it's going to hit them hard. And we are so blessed to be able to be here to see it taking place, to be able to sit at the feet of the priests and the priestesses, to be guided by them and helped by them. Love one another, care for one another, and help each other through these trying times, because we need it more now than ever. So let's begin. Let's turn over to Revelation, the book of Revelation, and we're going to start with Revelation 3, and that's found on page 973, and let's look at verse 7. And now this is speaking to this house of Yahweh in these last days. Now we know there's seven eras of the house of Yahweh, and each house of Yahweh had a one cent, had someone over that, had a Malak over the house of Yahweh. And I'm going to read the heading here. The seventh era of the house of Yahweh, the reestablishment of the house of Yahweh in these last days. In the last days, the true worship faithfully practiced a promise of protection. And to the Malak, Yisro Hawkins of the house of the congregation of the house of Yahweh in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no man shuts and shuts and no man opens. Now let's turn over to the next scripture, which is going to be a couple pages over, to Revelation 10. And again, you know, it's every era of the house of Yahweh had a priest over it, a one cent, a Malak. And in chapter 10 on 977, and we're going to look, of course, at verse 7, a very common scripture with all of us here. But for those who are tuning in, pay close attention to these things, and you'll gain more understanding about who the seventh Malak really is if you're not aware of that. In the last days, the voice of the seventh Malak, Yisro Hawkins, the one over the seventh era of the house of Yahweh, when he begins to sound, that great secret of Yahweh would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets, and he's been spoken of in Isaiah 44, Daniel, Zechariah, all through volume 1, we see evidence of the seventh Malak. So I did a search I typed in the seventh Malak, and I was really amazed at the things that came up, and I was talking with my supervisor about this, that it kind of astonished me that all the things that came up were things that he's been bringing out that we would have not have known of if it wasn't for Yahweh bringing forth a one cent, a Malak, a seventh era of the house of Yahweh in these last days, so we could learn these things. So let's get into this. This is a really amazing search. Okay, so the first thing, the skip on this, the letter skip, and again, that's an equal distance skip from the very first letter to the second letter was 16,694 letters between each letter equally. And that's pretty amazing. It was just really spread out through the scriptures. Okay? So right here we have the seventh Malak, okay? The seventh Malak. And the absolute first thing that came up was Daniel, right there. We had Daniel come up. Then following Daniel, we had the year 1991 to 1992. And in that year was the year that they moved out here to Abilene, to Clyde, Texas, to Eula, this area, and began services here out at the house of Yahweh. Then after that, we had Abel. Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Abel, right there. And down here, he established Abilene in these last days out here in the Clyde, Eula area at the house of Yahweh, Abilene. Now, this one's interesting. Garden of Eden. He's bringing back the Garden of Eden in these last days through the teachings of the house of Yahweh, bringing forth the laws and the prophets to the world, which is not the Garden of Eden at this time. Okay, and of course, Yahshua's name came up, who's guiding Yisrael Hawkins, who's overseeing the work of the seventh era of the house of Yahweh. Oh, I'm sorry, this is Yisrael. Yisrael's name. Then the next one was Yahshua. So we have Yisrael, and then over here, we have Yahshua. Okay? Then up here we have finishing. Finishing, the seventh Malak, finishing the work for these last days, preparing for a great kingdom to be established. Then over here, the next thing that came up is habitation. And we know that word habitation means house. Habitation. Okay, now it gets interesting. Here we have Hail Bop. And that was at the time when the great adversary, Satan, the one who deceives the whole world, was cast out of heaven and cast to the earth. And we would not have known that without Yisrael Hawkins pointing these things out. And I highly encourage you to get the book, There Is Someone Out There, to gain greater understanding on that. There is someone out there. There's Hail Bop. Then up here we have lamplight. We would not have known the importance or the meaning of the lamplight if it wasn't for Yisrael Hawkins. And the blessing that comes from just sitting quietly with your family or even yourself, just doing simple readings and studyings with that lamplight, sets an aura or an atmosphere that is perfect for learning, absolutely perfect for learning, okay? I always get lost on these, okay, 12, 13. 13, we have not alone, and it's connected to Abel. So Abel is not alone in these last days. Yahweh has brought forth workers, servants, and slaves, so to speak, in these last days. The house of Yahweh, all of us that assist Pastor in doing this work. But he also has billions of Malachim assisting him also. Okay. Then down here we have prophetic. Prophetic, as in the prophetic word. Pastor Yisrael has taught us the importance of tithing. The great blessings of Yahweh, which come through tithing. Okay? This one, I've never seen this come up. This is the first time I've ever seen it come up. P-S-C-E-P. P-S-C-E-P. What does that mean? Okay. That came up. Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Okay, we have war in heaven. Pastor Yisrael taught us about the war in heaven, the seventh Malak. Taught us the importance of that, which took time right next to Hail Bop. You know, when she was cast down in 94 from the hits on Jupiter, and then Hail Bop followed. Okay, down here, these three, we have city. City connects to Yisrael, city of Yisrael. Okay, but that's not all. Right here, connecting to Yahshua is city. City of Yahshua. So he's, and that's been brought out before in the code. Yahshua is going to have a city also named after him. City of Yahshua, city of Yisrael. Okay, then we have 1074. 1074, we all know what that means. We have 1934, these right here. The year the great witness, the seventh Malak, was born, 1934. Okay. Then we have Hakahan, or Hawkins. Hakahan, Hawkins, Otis, and Maggie. Otis and Maggie came up, and we know those are the two that brought forth Yahweh's last day's witness, and the two witnesses, his brother Jacob, Otis and Maggie. Then finally, Oki. That was the last thing that came up, Oki. So we have Oki in there. Now some other words that came up, praise Yahweh. I'd clap for that too, but I'll make a lot of noise if I do. Okay, so other words that came up were amazing, appointment, beacon, believer, begot, chemistry. Remember what the last day's witness has taught us about chemistry and the microbes and all these things. Glorious. Honeybee. Honeybee came up. Not just honey and bee separately, it was one word, honeybee. Ferment, fermentation. Now, these are all things that pastor's been teaching us. Overcome, the importance of overcoming. Redemption, Vatican. Now, the seventh Malachi has been teaching us the truth of who and what the Vatican really is. And then this came up, wonderful branch. One word, wonderful branch. Amazing. You know, we are so blessed to be here. Don't take it lightly, brethren. Remember where our blessings come from. From obeying the house of Yahweh, the one sent, the seventh Malachi Israel Hawkins, our teachers, our supervisors, our counselors, the priests and priestesses, our parents, okay? It's very important now more than ever, because if we don't, we're going to be caught short and we won't be allowed to be in there with great Pastor Israel Hawkins, which is what we all want. So if you all please stand. I have the honor to turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Yahweh's peace be with everyone. Please be seated. All right, let's get started. We got to fly through this. Little Horn is watching you. No, it's not Big Brother. We do have a Big Brother watching over us. His name is Yahshua. But the one we're going to talk about today is Little Horn. And can I have the first, next slide, please? Okay, so on 5/11/20, as I was walking out of the cafeteria, this picture was taken right here at 7:59 p.m. And let's look at some numbers here. We see, first of all, you'll see it looks like a big V, like for victory. Okay, or it looks like a bird, but it's really a V for victory. And if you'll notice, the all-seeing eye, okay, that's very prominent there over the pyramids that were right behind it, okay, showing this system that thinks they're going to prevail over the house of Yahweh, but the gates of hell will not prevail, right? Now, 5:11:20 or 5:11:12 means wandering. It's the word nod that's used in Genesis. Nod, wandering, fugitive, wanderer, tossing the head in scorn, a vagabond. Should show you that this is that system of Cain. It was taken at 7:59 p.m., and it means a citadel, fortified buildings and towers, castles to be elevated, okay? It's showing that this lifting up of this Nimrod system and this pride and arrogance of Nimrod and the system that is sitting on the seven hills of Rome that has a system throughout this whole earth that's spread throughout this whole earth, as I'm going to show you. It means to tower up and high. Now, there's more things in there. In fact, there's a battleship right down there at the bottom of that V to the left. The same battleship, I'm sure, that Pastor saw, because remember, all eyes are on the house of Yahweh at this time. Okay? Let's go to the next slide. Now, on May 1st of all days, the bill was introduced into the Congress, U.S. Congress, H.R. 6666. It's called the COVID-19 Testing, Reaching, and Contacting Everyone, Trace Act. Trace Act, okay? Now, it was the 116th Congress. Remember, this Congress, the 116th Congress, was installed in 2019. And it doesn't end until 2021. That number's wrong, I put there. 2021 is when it expires. But this 116th Congress, so let's look at that number 116. It means now, that time, and then. In other words, it's been from the beginning. It was and it is now. Okay? Well, who's it talking about? The Greek 1:16 means Athens, the intellectual capital of Greece, plural of Athena, the goddess of wisdom, who was reputed to have founded the city of Athens, Greece, where, by the way, democracy was born. Okay? Democracy was born in Athens. Remember, that was that third beast that Daniel saw, right? And they're calling this bill an Orwellian bill, okay? An Orwellian bill. And it's called, Orwellian. You'll see in a minute who George Orwell was. But notice, an Orwellian bill is 954 Beelzebul, or Lord of the Heavenly Habitation. Orwellian bill, 1176, Beelzebub. Same person. Okay, the Lord of the Heavenly Habitation, or known as Mary or May or Athena. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Now, the Acropolis in Athens, you notice it's way up there in that fortified tower there, okay, that we just read about in that meaning of that picture. This is called the Acropolis of Athens. And remember, Athena, Athens, and democracy was born in Athens. And you'll notice when you put those three in, you get 203, which means might, power, strength, strong men, power and force, wickedness, evil, false, vanity, idols, nothingness. Keep that in mind. Unrighteous, powerless, senseless, nothing, helpless, cease, fails, fatherless, incurable. Okay, now the second number, 1218, it's where you get the word democracy. It's the Greek word demos, and it means it's a district or country, the common people, the people assembled, the multitude and rabble, the people, especially citizens of a Greek city and popular assembly. It's demos, the root of the English word democracy. And ancient Greeks used 1218 demos to describe the body politic or the political body. The third number, 975, notice, it means a tower, a watchtower. And goes to 974, and it means to examine, try, and tempt. Okay, and I'm not going to show you today, but I'm going to show you this is the same system that tempted Yahshua, and he was offered all these things that I'm about to show you. Let's go to the next slide. Now, the Parthenon, the temple of Athena on the Acropolis that I just showed you, that fortified on that mountain there, is where that temple is the temple of Athena, this goddess. Okay, now notice Parthenon is 666. That should tell you something. And Athena is Mary, 666. Okay, now remember, she was also called Minerva by the Romans. And notice the owl that's associated with her. Remember the screech owl, Lilith? Owls are associated with wisdom in the world, in the worldly schools, the schools of higher learning and the public schools. Can I have the next slide? Now, this COVID-19, it says, this is from the Washington Times. It says, HR 6666, a devil of a COVID-19 government surveillance plot. Now, isn't that interesting? Let's put that in your matria there. And the first number you get is 491, and it means to bind, to put to silence. The second number, 2946, means to extend and spread, or in other words, propagate, okay? We learned that word last time. Now let's look at this third number, 4110. It means praise and fame. It goes to 1984, Hallel. Hallel, remember, the one worthy of being praised, given marriage. This is talking about Hillel. In fact, the word Lucifer is 1966, and it goes to 1984, Hillel, okay? 1984, can I go to the next slide? Now, some of you might know about the Orwellian book called 1984, where there was a man that wrote this. He wrote this way back in the 30s, okay? And it was about a dystopian society where Big Brother was watching everyone, and it was an evil, wicked society, and even having thoughts that were outside the government's thoughts were considered, you would be taken away and put away. Let's just say that. So look, Greek 1984, it means inspection, investigation, oversight. from 1980 to look upon, to look out, to inspect, to go to see, examine with the eyes. Okay, you see that? And you see that insidious eye there that I saw in that cloud the other night, watching over, or at least it was way out down there in the south. It wasn't above the house of Yahweh grounds. It wasn't allowed on the grounds, okay? It was way down there. Okay, so let's go to the next slide. Let's see if Yahweh knew something about this bill a long time ago. Notice the HR 666 COVID-19 Testing, Reaching, and Contacting Everyone Trace Act. This is their words, not mine. I put that in your matria. The first number, 8870, means trace. 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 It's the word, you can see it right there off to the left, used in Daniel, I believe 2:35, where it says, this wicked system, once it shreds, once it blows to chaff, there's not going to be a trace of it left. Okay? It's the word trace from 871, and it means spies. 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 The second number, 5220, means to propagate. 5220 in Greek means under the power or subject to a man. Well, I wonder who that could be. We'll show you in a minute. 5287 is the third number. It means to shake. From 5286, to growl. Okay, 5287 means a setting or placing under, or something being placed under someone's authority. Can I have my next slide? Let's find out who that might be. HR 6666, the first number, 234, means to record. 234 in Greek means pollution and defilement, which you're trying to contain, right, through this bill. 1404 is the second number, and it means lady, queen, mistress. From 1376, lord, ruler. From 1396, mighty, to be strong, to prevail, to act proudly against Yahweh. The next number, 1404, means a dragon, a serpent, the devil, to look, a seeing one, a seeing one. And 1684 is the third number, and it means to sacrifice, from 2076, to slaughter, to kill, to offer for sacrifice. Remember, you know, there's a great slaughter being prepared at this time. You have nothing to fear if you're here and you're doing what you're told. Can I have my next slide? Let's find out what these eyes are all about here. Because Yahweh told us in Daniel 7, 6, and 7, he says, after this I beheld, and lo, another government or another beast like a leopard, which is Greece, which had four wings like a fowl on its back. You know, Alexander the Great was only 33 years old when he died. In only three short years, he took over the whole earth, the whole known world. Okay? And it was an incredible feat in a worldly sense. It says, after this, I saw in the night vision to behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and exceedingly strong, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and trampled the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. So keep these horns in mind. Notice Alexander III, known as Alexander the Great of Macedonia or Greece, that third kingdom that Daniel saw, Alexander 3, 666, Macedonian Alexander 3rd, 666. His name comes up 666 in Jewish and in the Sumerian Yamatria. That's incredible. Can I have my next slide? In Daniel 7, 8 now, here's what it says word for word. It says, behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes. Eyes. Eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things or passing laws. Remember what Pastor taught us, passing laws against Yahweh, passing laws to make war against the saints. Now, look at the first number, 1984. Didn't we just see that? 1984 means to make a boast and give in marriage, talking about Hillel. It's the word Hillel. And 1984 in Greek means inspection, investigation, oversight, to look upon, look out, inspect, to go to see and examine with the eyes. That second number, 1190, in the Hebrew means thrice great Lord. Now, I brought that out before about that number and that word thrice, and it meant the 33, talking about the 33rd degree of masonry. You know, the top level of masonry. The thrice great Lord, 1176, or Beelzebub, again, the Lord of the heavenly habitation that's watching over the great work that they're doing, they call it. Let's go to the next slide and see if this is all a coincidence. So the horn that has eyes and providential care of God. Let's read what 13:14 means first, the horn that had eyes. 13:14 means to guard carefully and protect, to defend, hyperguard. Implies close, careful guarding, especially of God's providential care. Keep that in mind, okay? It says it is used only in Luke 10 by Satan. Satan used it, lying to Yahshua, tempting Yahshua. And we'll get to that another time, but just keep that in mind. The second number, 1284, from 7451. Look, it's the word Ra. Ra? Well, y'all remember the Eye of Ra? The Egyptian sun god? Notice the eye there to the left. Egyptian sun god Ra, it means bad, evil, by the way, 7451, bad, evil, wicked, adversity, mark, noisome, sore. Wow. Okay, now notice it's the word Ra, and Egyptian sun god Ra is 1176, again, meaning Beelzebub, the Lord of the heavenly habitation. Let's go to the next slide. The man that wrote the book, 1984, his name was Eric Blair, but he went under the pseudonym of George Orwell. Notice 1314. He wrote about a dystopian society. 1314. Big Brother, the Eye of God. 1314, and again, means to guard carefully and protect and defend. And it was only, especially of God's providential care, and it's only used in Luke 4:10 by Satan, quoting scripture out of context. Okay, and you'll see later on the big lie that she told that Yahshua rejected. Let's go to the next slide, because have you ever heard of the Eye of Providence? Okay, the Eye of Providence, this is from Wikipedia, word for word, or the all-seeing eye of God, is a symbol having its origin in Christian iconography, or God worship, showing an eye often surrounded by rays of light or a glory and usually enclosed by a triangle. It represents the eye of God watching over humanity, or the concept of divine providence. Now notice, I put that in Yematria. The number 2769 means a little horn. A little horn. Now didn't we just read about the little horn that had eyes? Wow, okay. And remember, a little horn means worthless. Worthless for salvation. Pastor taught us these things. We don't know anything outside of what that man taught us, right? Okay, now notice the little horn, 996. Remember that number, 996, because the system's going to be overturned soon. But notice what it means here. It means above, among, midst, within. Yeah, maybe your TV set, your computer, eye in the sky. In fact, I thought there was a song when I grew up saying, eye in the sky, I'm watching over you or something. Above, among, midst, within. And from 995 to discern, clever, cunning, gaze, have intelligence, like intelligent spying apparatus, right? Investigating, observing, view, mark, and inform, or tell, trace, right? Trace. Keep this in your mind. Let's go to the next slide. Let's look at that second number in the Eye of Providence quote from Wikipedia. I didn't make any of that up. I took it word for word. And you get 1782. Well, guess what they completed in 1782? The Great Seal of the United States. And the Great Seal has the eagle, remember, with the arrows in one claw and the olive branch in the other. And then on the flip side, the pyramid with the all-seeing eye. Completed in 1782. Completion of the Great Seal, 1782. 1782 means on either side, on both sides, within. From 1722, inside, within, among, throughout. That eye is everywhere, okay? Their eyes are everywhere, even among. And notice, the last word means free. Free, where does that mean? Let's go to the next slide. Now, here's the U.S. Capitol, and on top, they call that the Statue of Freedom, but let's see what it really is. Thomas Crawford, who was a Roman-trained artist, he had a studio in Rome, by the way. Thomas Crawford's figure, in fact, emulates Phidias's fabled lost statue of Athena, the name used by the ancient Greeks for the later Roman Minerva that stood in the Parthenon atop the ancient, on atop ancient Athens, okay, at the Acropolis, which I just showed you. Notice, the Statue of Freedom, Minerva Athena, comes to 1865, which means liberty. Liberty. Now, don't you associate this with liberty? Freedom? Okay. Notice, a worthless little horn, 1776. Remember, they spread out everywhere. They got their claws into everything, okay? And I'm going to show you how they did it. Next slide. Underneath Athena in the Capitol Dome is the Apotheosis of Washington. The Apotheosis of Washington and the Eye of the Rotunda. Eye of the Rotunda. Notice, it looks like an eye. Look up there and you'll see the pupil in between Washington and all the gods surrounding him. It's the Eye of Jupiter. And notice, apotheosis in the title means raising of a person to the rank of a god. That's what this is from their website. This is a government website. This is not my words. They know what it means. Go to the next slide. Notice, Eye of the Rotunda. 1092 means George. 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 George in Greek. Now, how did Yahweh know that? Now, don't get me wrong. George Washington was already dead when they did this. Okay? Notice here, Jupiter is the second number, 1054, is the word Jupiter. And notice, in Rembrandt Peale's portrait of Washington, he's depicted as Jupiter, the patria pater of the country, remember? And look at Zeus right above his head. Go to the next slide, please. I got to get this last part in. Notice, V for victory there. The COVID-19 Testing, Reaching, and Contacting Everyone Act. The first number, 589, means I. The second number, 3534, means to subdue, to bring into bondage, to subjugate, to force, keep under, bring into subjection. The third number, 3534, means victory. Victory over the people. Remember what Pastor taught us about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the overcoming of the people, subjecting the people, being a lord over the people. The third number, 4414, means the demon. Remember Isaiah 34:14, which talked about the screech owl Lilith, or Satan, the devil. Now, some people have been sending me a video of a doctor that's speaking out against the government. I think you better be careful about what you're seeing on YouTube. I want you to notice this next picture, please. Okay, here's the video. Dr. Rashid Batar blasts Gates, Fauci, exposes fake pandemic, economy collapses. Hey, listen, the only doctor you need to listen to is this doctor here in the House of Yahweh. Now, notice on his bookshelf behind him, he has three books. That's his book called 9 Steps to Keeping the Doctor Away. Notice that fourth one on the middle shelf, there's no number 9 on it. So can you flip it for us real quick? Can you flip that? What do you get when you flip them over? Yeah, 666. Now, why is that 9 missing on the bottom shelf? Because if you put that 9 in, can you put the 9 in now? You'll have the number of the bill. 6666. Now, notice the number, the little I there, and it says 144. Can you flip it back, please? There's a little I underneath that says, notice, it was put out by Nike Press. Nike Victory? And the I is on the 144. That's right. It's on the 144,000. So I would be very careful who you're trusting in the world. The only protection you have is right here. At this time, if you'd all please stand. I went a little bit over and I apologize. At this time, if you'd please stand, I'd like to turn it over now to the great Gohan Iliahakin.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Remember, as we go through the news, Revelation 6:8, once again, where it was given to this beast to notice to kill with the sword, that's war, with hunger, that's self-inflicted hunger, and also with pestilence or disease. And that comes from the lack of adhering to Yahweh's laws. And remember what in Matithia, chapter 24 and verse 25, Yahshua told his disciples, but he spoke to us too. And he said, "Behold, I warned you beforehand." In other words, we were given an advance warning of these stages of death that is taking place in society and in this world. And of course, Isaiah tells us that in the end, there's going to be burned and few men left. Of course, Yahweh's house is his place of protection. But watching what this world does and the confusion that sets in, you have farmers right now, and the one industry that is suffering is potatoes. They have over 1 billion pounds of potatoes, and they have no idea what to do with them. They're just letting them rot. And of course, the one farmer explained it the best. He said, "We're borrowing millions to make thousands." And of course, donating potatoes, you start thinking, well, why don't they just give them away? Well, consider you have farmers that aren't making any money, and it costs them money to box the potatoes and to transport them so they can donate them. They're not willing to spend money when they're not making money. They're willing to just let them rot. And you'll get to see one storage facility of potatoes from one farmer, and it's a massive amount, but I want you to get in your mind, this is supposed to be a leading country in how things are done. If the food chain breaks down that easy here, what occurs in the fourth part of the earth where you have very poor countries? What occurs when they don't have the technology that you have here in the United States? Of course, it's much more difficult for them to put it out, to get this food put out. But then you also have meat shortages due to process plants being shut down because of the coronavirus. This virus being spread, they say over 5,000 workers in the processing plants have become infected from this coronavirus. And notice that there was even an executive order. So that's an order that comes forth from the president to keep these facilities open, and they're still shutting down because they don't have the workers. They can open the facilities up, but if the workers don't show up to work, you can't operate. You have to have your workers to operate your facilities. And then it shows unemployment. This, you know, putting your faith in a job in this world is one of the worst things a person could do. That is a bag with holes for sure. They tell that there's 33.5 million people that went on unemployment, but the more important number you should look for is there's over 20 million people have lost their jobs. That means unemployment, you can get laid off for 3 and 4 months and go back to your job. To over 20 million people have no job to go back to. Businesses are closed. They're shut down. In other words, they're going to have to go fight the other 20 million people for the next job. Well, what are you going to do? How are you going to survive? You're going to see one woman tell her story, and she says how hard, and she has nowhere to go. Think about what life is like outside the house of Yahweh. In the house of Yahweh, you would never say, well, I don't know what to do. I have nowhere to go. Here, you know where to go. Here you have assistance, you have help. Out in this world, there's no help. But watch what this woman goes through, a single mother with 3 children, and your heart goes out to people like that because there's no hope in this society. There's no hope in the big money that they say you can make out there, and then they drop you very quickly. It's the first sign that they don't make money. The business owner, you're the first thing to go. And then, of course, tensions rising over in the South China Sea, the United States sending more warships over there. If you go back and search Israel Says, you'll find where Pastor said, watch the South China Sea. There's a lot going to go on there. Don't forget the shipping lanes, the volume of money that comes through there. 30% of all merchandise travels through that area. But you also have that abundance of oil that's in that area. But you have the United States sending more warships, countries becoming very hostile over there. Tensions are building, even between the United States and China over the coronavirus. The blame game being set forth of whose fault it is, but it's much more than a virus. There's a lot of tension building, and remember, the South China Sea, that's in that fourth part of the earth. All of that taking place, remember, it was given to kill with a sword. But you also have the United States pulling their missile defense systems out of Saudi Arabia. Now, it's important to remember that was put in recently when the so-called missiles from Iran, is what they said, attacked Saudi Arabia, and they attacked the oil wells and shut them down for a little bit. But remember, the petrodollar was an agreement that Saudi Arabia would sell with the U.S. dollar as long as the United States would defend Saudi Arabia. Well, they haven't pulled that defense away yet, but oil right now is kind of like the potatoes. You're better off not having it because there's nowhere to store it. It's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars if you have oil coming your way because there's nowhere to put it right now. The only difference is the oil can be saved in facilities where the potatoes and the food's going to rotten, but it's still costing money and huge layoffs, even just 180 miles from here, thousands of people losing their jobs just in the last month. And then last but not least, you have President Trump. He's paying attention to the 1 cent. He comes out and says that we really don't need a vaccine. This disease, it'll die and go away on its own. Well, where did he get that from? Who else is saying that? There's only one person. Yisrael Hawkins is saying it. And you know that President Trump is hoping that he's right because it's best case scenario. But to all the world leaders, he is right. But if we don't adhere to what he said, what comes after that will be much worse. So watch very carefully and remember what Yeshua told us. Remember what our pastor has told us. We were warned beforehand these things were come. It's time to prepare now. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Wow. What a beautiful sight. I would everybody in the world could be here. Okay, there you go. Yahweh, they're all yours. Praise Yahweh. Yeah, those in here can be seated at this time if you'd like, and just keep yourselves so far apart as the law is telling us to do. Governor Abbott seems to be doing a great job in protecting, trying to protect the people, get everything to going again. The whole world is kind of falling on one another's shoulders. It's full of anguish and pain and grief. And of course, I want to tell you how it got there and what brought all this mess of the seven last plagues. It's such a marvelous thing, if you'll catch on to this during this sermon, to see that Yahweh can actually foretell these plagues, when they'll start, what they'll do. He's aware of them. He's not bringing the plagues. In fact, he warned our forefathers for beginning in with Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve. He warned them that if you go this way, it's going to bring 6,000 years later the seven last plagues. That'll be it. I'm going to shut it down after that seven last plagues. In fact, I'm going to cut it short, he said. Because he said, if going this way would totally eliminate man from the earth in 6,000 years. Now, that was the warning. And, of course, the seven last plagues would do that, and it shows it in prophecy. This house arrest, I guess that's probably the most worrisome thing that is going on, trying to keep the virus, the first plague, from spreading to every person on earth, trying to limit it some. Crying for freedom. Some are saying, give me liberty or give me death or give me freedom or give me death. So it shows what kind of miserable state we're in, the news does, today. And, of course, if you're watching the news, they're even creating more. I mean, the world leaders, they're not exactly all looking to help people as Governor Abbott and President Trump appear to be doing right now in helping the people to survive during this horrible prophesied time period that is taking place. There's world leaders out there that, from looking at the news, you can see they're out to get what they can, even taking advantage of this situation that the whole world is in. The freedom, Yeshua spoke about this, and the bondage that goes with it. In chapter 8, if you want to be turning there, Yeshua said the truth. You want to know what will set you free from this. We're in a grip of bondage here that Yahweh prophesied, and it's coming to pass in our time period. Prophesied in the beginning, it wasn't laid out like you'd read the whole book of Yahweh, but it's in here a little and there a little throughout the Holy Scriptures, these plagues that are spoken of in Revelation 16, the last plague. These are the last. There won't be any others after this. But the deaths that will tally up will leave, as the prophet said, very few men left at the end of this seventh plague, or seven last plagues. The freedom, this freedom from bondage, turn over to Yochanan 8, because he said, Yeshua said, the truth will make you free. Well, why should we believe Yeshua? This farm boy, this carpenter's son, 2,000 years older than us now. Before the man was born, he was being taught the laws. By the time he was 12 years old, he was telling his parents he had to be about his father's business. These are not lies. All these scriptures can be proven. People have tried to prove them fake, and they failed in their efforts miserably, and stand ridiculed now. But in the Savior, in trying to tell the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. Now, this was a Coptic Catholic religion in Egypt, Coptic Catholic religion. Moshe was prophesied to take them out of Egypt and bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. That wasn't an easy job to get them out of there. The milk and honey was taken in several different ways, but it consisted in the minds of these Coptic Catholics. This was the leading religion of the 12 tribes. Moshe was prophesied to be Yahweh's prophet to turn them from this bondage of Egypt. And that's what it was called. And here he was trying in verse chapter 8 of Yochanan to explain what Moshe was doing and offering them a land flowing with milk and honey. If they offered you that today to leave your homeland, that was their homeland, that's born there, all that came out was born in Egypt, been there the parents had, and grandparents and great-grandparents, 400 years. And so there was many of this generation that knew the history of their parents living in Egypt, practicing the Coptic Catholic religion. In fact, they were leaders in it. This came about with the rulership that the Pharaoh gave to Yosef. He gave him everything, put him over everything, religions, everything, everything but his own self. And you'll find that out if you'll just read the scripture. I know you're not, when people don't know this beginning, I know they're not reading the scripture. It's plain. It's even shown in Acts. But they never pick up on it. But anyway, the Coptic Catholic, 12 tribes. That was what was brought out of Egypt. The Coptic Catholics do not get their power or authority. Now, remember what I'm saying here. You got to remember this in order to understand this sermon. They did not get their power and authority from Yahweh. The Coptic Catholics were God worshipers, like Cain, like was offered to Eve. It was a school of higher learning, much desired to make her and those who practice it wise. That's all shown in Genesis. Follow this school, this systematic way established by Cush, that it was called rebel against Yahweh, rebellion against Yahweh. That's chapter 8 through 10 of Genesis, called Nimrod. Nimrod means he rebelled. Cush rebelled. Cush fathered this school called Nimrod, called rebel against Yahweh. Satan introduced the idea in Genesis 1 through 3 of following the gods. More desirable to do this. After the flood, then, came Cush, who established the first kingdom school in Egypt. And of course, it quickly caught on, and every place wanted a kingdom. Every tribe, every organization, everybody that started a city, they wanted a kingdom with a king that would fight their battles. And that's what they asked Samuel for, still asking him for. Well, in this situation now, they were offered eternal life, or the tree of life, which they never took. They never repented. I'm talking about our forefathers who Yeshua was teaching in Yochanan 8. In fact, throughout the book of Yochanan, you get it more there than you do the other books, but you get it from the others too. But if you read chapter 8, and you start with verse 12 there, let's see, chapter 8 and verse 12, he says, Yeshua spoke again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Speaking of himself and telling them, because it's continually asking him, what are you? Who are you? Where did you come from? Where did you get this authority? That's all recorded for you. And he said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life, or the tree of life. Because of this, the Pharisees, that shows you who he's speaking to. Because of this, the Pharisees said to him, you are witnessing for yourself. Well, look on over to verse keep this in mind, verse 12 and 13 here. They accused him, you are witnessing on your own behalf. Your testimony is not true. See, they didn't say it in this verse, but he said they were saying it's not written. It's not part of the contract, what you're saying here. You can't prove that you're the one that you're speaking of here. You're just saying you are, but you can't prove it. You can't prove it by Scripture. In verse 31, if you'll skip on over there, he says, then Yeshua said to those Yadim who believed, that's verse 13, it's the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Herodians, their lawyers that tore up the law and used it against them. Then Yeshua said to them, to those Yadim who believed on him, if you continue in my doctrine, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, free? Well, they already told him they'd never been in bondage. They never were slaves to anyone. Well, verse 33 now says, they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants. Abraham's descendants is the ones that Yahweh took down to Egypt, sent them into Egypt, and told Abraham how long they would be there. He foretold how long they would be there. 400 years, if that was coming from a man would have been dead, or they're close to it anyway. They live longer than we do, but today. But 400 years later, and it came to pass. And Moshe was the prophesied one to bring them out of Egypt. He brought them out of the land of Egypt with the offer of milk and honey, but he didn't bring them out of their religion. I think I'm going to put out a different advertisement. I've been thinking on it a lot because they're not listening or readily flowing to the milk and honey. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to write up another promise, I think. I'm not dead set on it yet, but I'm going to say, come join us. We've got an offer here of free trucks. We're going to bring you to a land of trucks that you can drive. I think that will get a bunch of them here. You know, give me a truck. Well, that's better than milk and honey, I think, the sound of it today. And when they get here, they want to know where's my trucks? Well, that truck, it stands for this. This is what it means. This is what you truck yourself to services with. You sit in this when I'm bringing services out in the parking lot and honk your horn when you want to. See, bring them out of bondage along with the truck, getting the truck. That no milk and honey, just the truck. The verse 33 says they were never in bondage. We are the Abraham's descendants and never been in bondage to anyone. These are the children of the fathers many years before them that came out of Egypt and supposed to repent and keep Yahweh's laws and become teachers of milk and honey, become priest of Yahweh, a kingdom of priests, to bring the truth to all the world. And all the world would be greatly blessed by this. Well, you can see that they didn't do their job, and you can see it more clearly now with these seven last plagues. This is to get your attention. That is the ones he's calling. This is to get your attention. You'll make it through this if you'll turn and listen to Yahweh. You'll make it through these seven last plagues. We were never in bondage. If you'll believe that, you'll believe that this is the truth and that Yahshua was speaking to these people, telling them, I am the tree of life. He didn't prove it right here, but he proved it in other scriptures, that he was the prophesied man that would bring forth back to earth, back to the people, the tree of life that they rejected at first, went into bondage, the bondage of sin. We're in verse 33, bondage. Now, this is what we see today. We see this, we're seeing the bondage of sin, the sins that multiplied from the beginning, 6,000 years, build up, got stronger, really strong, both physically, and they got to where they became a sickness inside the body that actually took rulership over the body, rulership. So they became in bondage to their own sins. They created a bondage to live in. Those sins now want more from the body than they're getting. They want to take over this body, and in doing so, they're bringing death to all the actions or power or authority that has been given to the body. The authority that Yahweh, keep this in mind, he promised mankind, I'll give you authority. This King James said dominion. I'll go over that in detail the next time I speak, but King James said dominion. The Book of Yahweh says authority. This is going to be a little bit difficult, this next one, because the word dominion, the Hebrew word dominion, and for authority, it actually means increase. Increase. Well, you think of increase as something else, but let's go on here first, keep that in mind, and I'll slowly weed it into you in a little bit of time. 33, this is what we see in the seven last plagues. This is the buildup of sin for practicing breaking Yahweh's laws from the tree of life that was given from the beginning, taken up, and Yahweh said, now you're cursed. You're bringing these curses upon yourself. And, of course, Yahweh allowed them to do it. He's set before them. He's not going to rule. He's not going to force rule upon anyone. He says, you either agree with me or you're not with me. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. That word agree means unity, of course. That's what Yahshua meant when he said upon this rock Kepha, which meant unity, I will build my house. He did. He's working right now as high priest over his house to bring everyone to perfection and then give them their authority. He has been given authority, all judgment in heaven and earth has been given unto him. He hasn't taken it over. but he has it coming. He has the promise. He will get it. He will receive this promise. But right now, he sets his high priest over the house of Yahweh. The scripture, "It is written," says, "Set by me, set at my right hand until." And then it tells you, then at that time, you will be given authority, power, increase. I'd like to get it in your mind if you can absorb it. Mankind, Adam, he's a created being. He's created by Yahweh. He belonged to Yahweh. If you're created, your creation belongs to you. If you create something, the creation belongs to you. That makes it yours when you create it. That's what's shown in Scripture. Until someone gives you authority, you have nothing. You're just yourself. Adam had nothing. Yahweh gave him authority to name the animals. He gave him authority to study at the tree of life, which would have brought him eternal life. Now, that's an increase. Get that in your mind. This is an increase. Yahshua gained increase as he qualified for it. And that increase, finally, as written in the book of Yahweh, Hebrews 10:21, that increase is he was given that increase or authority as high priest. Now, it was given to him. He didn't have it. He was born naked like we, meaning nothing, had nothing. Just like is shown in Genesis, and they took it literally and never did find out what nakedness meant. Well, of course, they lived in sin. Well, they created sin. Yes, they created it, so it belonged to them. And practicing it broke down the authority that Yahweh gave them. That gave it back to Yahweh, the creator of it to begin with. Yahweh created righteousness. He gives it to whom he pleases, who qualifies. Genesis 1:26, I'll give you this increase if you don't follow the gods. Satan says follow the gods, it's more appealing. So they followed the gods. After some time of persuasion, of course. Now keep that in mind. Let's go on to this bondage. The houses right now, they're in bondage all over the world. And those that are out of their houses, not under house arrest, they are still in bondage and suffering it, watching their food, potatoes, rot in the field. That's what they used to call Chinese torture. They're getting them real hungry and then dumping the food in front of them, and they can't eat. That's pretty much anguish, pain, like this first seal, first plague brings. Anguish and pain and fear, fear that they're going to die. And sometimes they would, as Yahweh said, they actually wish to die, but they can't. Yahweh told you this in advance. Remember that. He told you that in advance before you brought it to this point of the first seal, first plague, coming down, or the words being spoken, the judgment, as this is the way it's going to be. You're bringing this on yourself, so you're going to have to suffer through it. You've accepted it. A gift from Satan, a crown from Satan. That's what the word means, crown. But it's Satan's crown, not Yahweh. What do you mean by saying we will be free? We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage. So what do you mean you will be free? Yeshua answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is the servant of sin." Here comes the anguish, the pain, from sin. Isaiah said it best, because you have broken the laws, you have changed the everlasting covenant, and because of this, this thing has engulfed the earth. Very few will live through it. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6. Yes, that's speaking of the same thing that Revelation 16 is speaking of. In the bondage, the anguish, the pain. Remember, Yeshua said in verse 28, let me find that and read it right quickly. Then Yeshua said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing." The words are exactly, "I will do nothing." Another place it was translated, "I can do nothing." You need to remark that too, because that means the same thing. I will do nothing on my own. I'm going to follow exactly the authority that Yahweh gives me to follow. That's the authority, following the laws of Yahweh. He has that authority to follow it, to teach it, to bless those. Actually, judgment, bless those who come to the house with the same authority that Yahweh gave him. I am He, and that I do nothing. I will do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. My Father has taught me. How did He know that? It is written. Because it is written. He taught me these things. I must be about my Father's business because it is written. He's not coming down here and whispering in his ear. He's doing the same thing that He's doing to you right now. Who will foretell and set it in order for me? It is written. Got that? Okay, makes sense now, right? He who sent me is with me. You'll know this. He said, if you'll lift me up, you'll see all of this. If you'll lift me up, you'll get to know me and you'll see all of this. You'll see I'm the light of the world. You'll see it written, and you'll start to believe what is written. How can you foretell something unless you have that power that Yahweh has? You can't. Nobody can. And He only gives it to those that are written from the words written in the sacred scripture. Not one of these will fail. Remember that? the book of Yahweh, Isaiah 16:34, 34:16, it is written. Not one of these is going to fail. That should be enough to tell you that's a prophecy now. That should be enough. You should know about enough about prophecy right now with this first plague. You pass this off and you don't get this lesson, you know, then you're going to suffer the next one. The next one will get your attention more, especially if you don't believe this first one and how it got here. And why it's bringing all this pain and anguish. No, Yahweh didn't send it. He didn't create it. It's not his creation. It's not his authority that he's sending out. It comes from the other end, from the Coptic Catholics of Egypt, the Coptic Catholic called Cain in Genesis, and so forth, all the way back till then. That's the reason Yahshua said, therefore, upon your heads, you're going to be charged for all these murders from now till the days of Cain, all the way back to Cain. That is your system, the Nimrod rebellious system that was so intriguing to Eve when Satan produced it and introduced it to her. That same system called the Nimrod system. Well, it's been teaching it for 6,000 years now. Yes, Cain was the first God worshiper, the very first. He was teaching his mother, teaching his mother God worship, and she accepted it. That's all true and scriptural. As he spoke, it is written. It is written. And you need to believe it. If a person says they can foretell the future, then get them to tell you the dream first. That's what Yahweh said. Just get them to tell you the dream and then see. We'll go from there. Then Yahshua, verse 31, then Yahshua said to them, those Yadim who believed on him, if you continue in my doctrine, now, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. The truth is, you find that, the answer to that, it is written in Psalms. You'll know the truth. The truth is the law, Yahweh's law. Will make you free. So the laws of Yahweh, which we have the authority right now to teach at his house, we had the authority already written for to establish the house of Yahweh. Isn't that something? In the last days. Why wasn't the house of Yahweh established before the last day? Last days is a generation of the nuclear bomb that started in 1934. The house of Yahweh wasn't established until Yahweh said, foretold, it would be established. No man could do that. No man can tell you what's going to take place when you go out to the door of the sanctuary. When you go somewhere, you fully intending to do one thing and something else takes place, you wind up in the hospital, none of that could be foretold. Yahweh could foretell it. Yahweh knows in advance. He could tell you. Well, it will make you free, and that's the only thing that will make you free. Now, free, you know, you're talking here about, you know, you're in bondage. You're in bondage to sin. You're in bondage to to house arrest. You're in bondage to this plague that's got everybody so fearful. Yahweh says, fear not. And if you're of the house of Yahweh, you know, then you got it made as long as you fear not. And if you get scared and run to Baal thinking that, thinking they can save you, it was plainly brought out today in Gematria, then you will throw away this authority that Yahweh has given you to teach and come out from this bondage of sin. Because that's what we're under right now. The whole world is under this bondage of sin. The bondage of sin is great. It brings a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain in your bodies right now that's there because it's bound there with your sins. And it's bringing down your organs. Unless you got it to go in the other way, which there's a way to do so. And Yahweh can if he will. Yes, healing is available. But the bondage of sin is everywhere today. It's been growing for 6,000 years. It's at its peak. And the seven last plagues that Yahweh is allowing Satan, that's her crown, that he's allowing Satan are here. And we've experiencing the first one. We've already started experiencing the second. Just watch your news and you'll see that bits and pieces of the second one are already forming along with the fourth one, I believe, at this time. Be true to Yahweh. Don't throw away this authority that he has given you to come to his house and be blessed. You had to have that authority. No one can come to me. That's authority from Yahweh. Get that in your mind. Don't let anybody change it. He gives you authority. Yahweh does. If you take that authority, you become his. You start practicing his laws. Then you belong to Yahweh. You belong to Yahweh. And as Yahshua said, lift me up, get to know me, and you'll see this. You'll start seeing this. And you'll know that I'm the one. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!